Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, open up your Bible. I understand that the theme of this gathering is called The Road to Change. The Road to Change. And I'm obviously not going to be a match for the word that the Lord has prepared for you there from all those exalted men of God, but I just want to start you on your way with a little stat. You know, sometimes when children go on a trip, the parents say, "Now, honey, I know when you get there, it's going to be a little banquet. I know they have it all prepared for you, but Mama just want to have you a little snack. Just a little snack. In case you get hungry on the bus, here's a little snack." Okay, so I'm just going to have a little snack for you. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right, so Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter." I hear pages turning, so I'll wait a few minutes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I'm going to borrow their title, The Road to Change. The Road to Change. And this passage talks here about a few roads. And as you look in Scripture, there are a number of roads that Scripture talks about. If you look in the Old Testament and New Testament, I'm just going to mention a few of them. We are reminded over there in Numbers chapter 22, there was a guy named Balaam who was going on a road to a town in Moab. And the Lord had told him certain things, but Balaam was not sensitive to it and was not going along in accordance with him. He was riding his donkey, and it got to the point where the Lord had to send an angel to stand in front of the donkey. Balaam was not discerning what the Lord was saying, but the donkey, a stupid donkey, could see what the Lord had put ahead of him. There was an angel of the Lord that was prepared to smite, to kill Balaam, if Balaam didn't change his direction, did not go on the right road. The donkey stopped. Balaam beat him here. Now, come on, let's go, donkey. And the Lord had it such that the donkey, read it in your scripture, Numbers chapter 22, the donkey spoke. I'm reading your scripture, Numbers chapter 22. The donkey spoke and said, "Yo, what's up? Why you beating me, Balaam? Have I ever done anything wrong before? I'm trying to help your nasty butt." That's a loose translation. And the Lord had to speak through a donkey on that road to a town in Moab to get Balaam's attention. We're reminded of another road, a road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 32, where Jesus had died. His disciples were walking along and discussing the events of the day. A stranger joined them and said, "What are y'all talking about? Stranger, don't you know what's going on? And don't you know what has happened?" And the stranger's like, "Oh, really? Oh, well, listen, well, tell me about it." And then the stranger started speaking some wisdom, and it got to a point when they realized that the stranger was actually Jesus himself who had come and revealed himself. And when they finally realized that, it's the master, he disappeared. And they said to themselves, why didn't we recognize him? Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke? Why were we so thick? Why didn't we get it? And one brother who had said, "That's what we need to do. We need to be a part of the burning heart society." Your hearts need to be burning to understand and to be sensitive to and to follow what the Lord is saying to you. It shouldn't have to be a miraculous thing. It shouldn't have to be a donkey having to speak to you. It shouldn't have to be the Lord who have to appear physically to you. You should be sensitive to it and hear what he's saying, like that which happened on the road to Emmaus. Then there's another road, the road to Damascus we heard about. There was a guy named Saul. Now this Saul, he was a bad cat. He was like, I am a Jew among Jews, and I'm sick of these so-called followers of Christ. I'm going to take upon myself, I'm going to get rid of all these cats. And he was persecuting and killing them. He was effective and dedicated in what he was doing until he got on this road to Damascus, and suddenly a bright light came, knocked him to his feet, knocked him to the ground. And he's like, Lord, it blinded him. He couldn't see. And he had to take him to another person, at which point the scales dropped from his eyes, and he was able to see what his true path, his true calling should be. And that persecuting Jewish person, Saul, became Paul, one of the most anointed and powerful and effective ministers of the gospel of Christ in all of history. That happened on the road to Damascus. The scales dropped from his eyes. He went from being Saul going on the wrong road to Paul establishing a new road for the glory of God. Then we have this scripture which we just read in Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. It said there is one road which is a broad road. There's another road which is a narrow road. It's easy to go to the broad road, the broad gates. The grass is lush. Everyone's going there. It's a party going. Oh, but the narrow road, why would anyone choose that road? It's tight. It's confined. You know, the accoutrements are not as nice. The hotels aren't as comfortable. Why would I go that road? But the Bible says you have to decide. You have to decide which road you are going to take. Amen. And the right road isn't always the easiest road. The right road, the best road, isn't always the most comfortable road. But you may find, my brother, my sister, that the right road, that narrow road, is the road where God wants you to go. And as you're thinking about brothers here who are going, brothers here who are staying, my sisters here who are staying or going, we need to decide what road we are going to take. We need to decide to be on the road to change. You may be changing from someone who has no relationship or a limited relationship with the Lord to someone who is now establishing that relationship. This may be a period of restoration from you, where you know you've fallen away. You know you're not where you should be. This may be your road to change. Or you may be a person who's fairly strong in the Lord, but you know what? The Lord is never satisfied with where you are. He loves you. Don't get me wrong. He loves you, loves you, loves you. But God has more for you, my brother. God has more for you, my sister. Lift up your eyes and decide to go along that road to change. And I'm closing. There's a few things one needs to do to move along your road to change. One, recognize where you are. Paul had to understand he was on the wrong road. The scales had to drop from his eyes for him to see where he really was. Recognize where you are. Two, decide where you are going. You must decide, are you going to take that wide path or the narrow path? You, only you, no one, old or young, no matter the relationship, no one can decide for you. And it's a cop-out and, excuse me, a lie if you say, well, I had to. You are created as a human being with choice. God will not even make you love him and serve him. He creates you with a choice. Decide where you're going. Point two, three, listen and look out. Listen for and look out for your guide. There's always there. There's always someone there. Whether you look to the left or the right, if you look carefully, there's a guide there. There's an old saying that said, when the student is ready, a teacher appears. When the student is ready, a teacher appears. Now, truth be told, if you peel that back, really, the teacher was already there the whole time, but the student wasn't perceiving it. You, my brother, my sister, need to perceive the guide, the direction that the Lord has already put it there for you. You just have to look for it. The donkey could see it. Balaam wasn't looking. The disciples almost missed Jesus, but when they finally get, it was the Lord. Boom, he was. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke? Be members of the Burning Heart Society. Recognize where you are, decide where you're going, listen for and look out for your guides, and lastly, decide that you are going to go all the way.
Amen.
It's nice to start off in the right direction and say, yep, got the map, looked up the Google directions, good to go. Yep, it's 10 steps, boom. But if you drive one block and say, oh wow, you got an interesting little site over there, let me just go check that out. Your initial decision, quite frankly, is almost irrelevant if you do not complete the journey. You must decide that whether it rains, whether it snows, whether it's uncomfortable, whether there's an earthquake, whether there's a traffic accident, whether that light is out and you may have to take a detour, you got the GPS now. Now we got the GPS, but it gets up there and you have to, oh, there's a blockage there. You turn, I gotta go this way, and all of a sudden the GPS says, rerouting, because the GPS knows your final destination. And even though you took the turn that it did not recommend you take, it says, okay, got you back. I know, I suggested you go left. You decided to go right. Got it. Okay, that's fine. Rerouting. Here's your new path, my brother, to get to the destination, because the destination has not changed. Listen to the direction of the Spirit of God. Recognize where you are, decide where you're going, listen for and look out for your guide, and decide that you are going all the way. And as I shut down, there is a statement written by a fellow named Dr. Bob Moorhead, which describes the fellowship of the unashamed. And I think that that's part of who we all should be, particularly you, my brothers. We need to decide that, as Romans said, we are not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And we need to decide we are going to be a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. And this statement reads like this. It says, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. Amen. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence. I learn by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, nor meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, and stored up and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go on until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me, my colors will be clear, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Be a part, be a member, the fellowship of the understanding as you go on your road to truth. God bless you. Let's have a great day in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus is King.
Jesus is King.
Be blessed.
Excellent work. Keep up the good work.
Yes, sir.